afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Oh.
Are you there, Sherry?
I am.
Great. How are you?
Was I not audible?
Not. I didn't catch the first part of your sentence there.
Oh. I think it was, hello.
Hello. Great.
Yeah, we're here.
We're here.
We're ready to talk.
And that's what we do, right?
That's right.
We get here.
We get here. That's right. And we don't always talk.
And we don't always talk.
This afternoon, though, and for these hours, we do talk and listen.
Yeah.
Sometimes we get here and we're just here. We're just here.
Sometimes words aren't necessary.
Yes. Well, actually, I suppose technically we could say words are never necessary, but we use them anyway.
Yes.
Often we use them to clear out the space so that we can just be here without needing to add anything.
I see. We use words to clear out space so that we can just be here.
Uh-huh.
Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Can you say a little more about that?
Yeah, well, I was going to suggest if people want to talk more about that, they could pick up that phone and start punching those numbers.
That's a great idea.
What numbers should they punch?
They should punch in the U.S. and Canada, toll-free, 1-877-514-7300. Again, that's 877-514-7300. The phone lines are open. Sherry's here, and we'd love to talk with you today.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're abroad, like in England or France or China or South Korea, and you'd like to give us a call, dial +1-858-277-1414. We'd love to hear from you today. And if you want to email us when we're not on the air, you can reach us at openair@livingcompassion.org. And as most of you know, archives of all the shows are available right here on the World Talk website. That's worldtalkradio.com. Sherry, we have an event coming up.
We do. I'm excited about it.
Great.
In fact, I think there's still time for people to fly in from all around the world.
Oh, that's great.
Don't you think?
Absolutely.
That would be a good thing to do.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing you mean the one between 3 and 5 o'clock this Saturday afternoon when Trish and Richard are going to come and serenade us, and we're all going to gather together to hear gorgeous, inspiring music and be able to talk with one another about what's going on with Living Compassion in the world and just kind of bask in the warmth of Sangha.
Yes. Saturday, June 25th in San Jose. There's information on the Living Compassion website. That's livingcompassion.org. And we'd love to know you're coming, so if you could give us an RSVP by email, that would be great. The email address is information@livingcompassion.org. I think it'll be a fun day.
I think so. I'm very much looking forward to it.
Great.
It's fun to do something like this because we have no idea who's going to be there. You know, some people have called or emailed us and let us know, but a lot of people haven't. And,
yeah.
For instance, I haven't RSVP'd,
huh?
And I'm planning on being there.
Yeah.
So, you know, I suspect a lot of people are like me, and they just haven't gotten to the computer. They haven't remembered at the time when they were there, whatever combination of circumstances, they haven't RSVP'd. So it's, we're going to be there, and it's going to happen, and then it's like a big surprise to see who all is there. So if people haven't RSVP'd, it'd be nice if they did. But if it's, 2:30 and they realize that they have a couple of hours in their schedule, then they can just come on over.
Yes. I'm looking forward to it.
Uh-huh.
Sherry, we have a caller.
Very good.
I'd like to welcome Megan from Oakland, California. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello.
Hi, Megan.
Hi, how are you?
Doing well, thanks. And yourself?
I'm doing well, except I'm a little nervous.
Okay, well, that happens.
Yes, I figured.
It's not like people regularly, most people I know anyway, regularly dial and they're live on the radio.
This is true.
Yeah. So, it's like we don't have a lot of experience with that sort of thing. And when we don't have a lot of experience with something, we think we need to be nervous.
Mm.
Which is too bad. That's a whole conversation.
Right.
That we are conditioned to believe that we should be nervous because we don't know how to do something. I think a very strong case could be made for when you don't know how to do something, when you haven't done it before, you could be perfectly relaxed because there would be no way to have expectations.
Yes.
Yeah, so the second time you do it, then you have to compare the second time to the first time. But the first time should be a free ride, but we're just not conditioned that way.
But that was helpful.
Oh,
I appreciate
that. I live to be helpful. So,
yeah,
so
I really
good.
Appreciate it. And thanks also for having this show for you guys for putting this on. It's a very helpful show.
Excellent.
So I'm actually calling in because I take the Dismantling the Ego email class with you.
Yes.
And the Sangha. And you had suggested that I do call in about, I had sent you an email about the issue of racism.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Okay, so that was me. And it was really amazing what you wrote about my anti-racist white sub-personality,
uh-huh.
and whether she wanted to, like, be connected or not, and whether she wanted to be isolated and so forth. And I think that there's an aspect of her that absolutely wants to be isolated, like definitely wants to be isolated because it's she's been used to it.
And now does the isolation, she wants to be isolated kind of from everybody, or she wants to be isolated from this target group of people that she sees as kind of the wrong bad people?
Yeah, I think that she wants to be, there's a part of her, I think, that wants to be isolated from white people, I would say, in general, even though she's white, right?
Right.
And then
she's white on the outside.
Yes. Well,
she has a strong identification, that her insides
right.
are not like those people.
Exactly. And I think, and then the centered, what I was thinking about, or I'd been sort of looking at and noticing, is that when she's not having the show and sort of there's more of a centered feeling, at least, the question is it would be helpful to get some guidance on if, like, you brought up experiences, like, for women in Buddhism or women in general, that they have a different experience than maybe men do in the United States or in general in the world.
Uh-huh.
And I think that I'm not sure if it's a sub-personality or at center, probably center knows that no matter what, racism or sexism or whatever is really not the main issue. It's connecting with people, and it's much bigger and vaster than anything, any of the conditions that have been put upon people or people believed in. But in that there are experiences that people have, like, so women have certain experiences or people of color have certain experiences.
Mm-hmm.
White people do too. So the guidance I think that I've been looking for and that I've been upset because, you know, I can't seem to find it, which is interesting in itself. That's a sub-personality that's getting upset, right? Center says you already have it within you. I think it's more that it would be helpful or it would be great to get some guidance on how to figure out how to let go of the suffering from a white perspective, because I'm hearing about it from people of color and other practitioners of color, but I haven't heard it so much from white practitioners about how to let go of that kind of content or that kind of suffering. Does that make sense?
Yes. So, in other words, if you talk to a practitioner, a meditator is what you
right.
mean, right? Yeah.
Yep.
I mean, that's the... Yeah, I just want to make sure we were talking about the same.
Yeah, or like a you know, someone like you is what I'm talking about. Like
okay.
a leader.
Yes.
I don't know how we determine.
So if I were a person of color,
mm-hmm.
then I would be tending to see life through mm-hmm. that filter.
Yes.
I wouldn't just be a Zen teacher or a student and teacher of Zen.
Right.
I would be a person of color who is a student and teacher of Zen.
Right.
So for me, I am a female who is a student and teacher of Zen.
Right.
And that's very different from...
Right.
And, you know, of course, there have been a lot of studies that show that a white male would simply say, I'm a student and teacher of Zen.
Right.
Because there isn't, in this culture, there isn't an awareness
right.
of anything else.
Yeah.
Yeah, it wouldn't occur to the average white male to identify white male
no.
as a part of their description. Because
absolutely
that's
not.
Just normal. That's,
right.
Yeah, that's just how things are.
Yes.
So if you're not that, then that's what you differentiate. That's how you distinguish
mm-hmm.
yourself from the norm.
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you're...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly. And that causes... I mean, depending on which... if you're, I guess my question is, if you're coming from that, like recognizing that these are experiences. So I've been reading about practitioners and people and leaders of color who have learned how to let go of the suffering. They're using the Dharma and Buddhist practices as a way to help them let go of
okay,
a lot of that conditioning. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Now, may I?
Yeah.
Okay. Because, you see, to me, it's irrelevant.
Hmm.
The whole subject is irrelevant, and here's the reason why.
Okay.
Because there is nobody. Now, you know, from a conditioned mind perspective,
right.
we could look at white males and say, well, you know, they don't have any issues. They are the yardstick by which everything is measured. They're the starting point.
Mm.
And so, you know, they don't have the kind of problems that I have. Okay, because I'm a woman, or I'm a woman who is also a woman of color, who
mm-hmm.
is, you know.
Right.
But in my experience,
okay,
no one is exempt.
Right, from suffering.
That's right, from suffering,
mm-hmm.
and from that it's just as much of an impediment to have an entire orientation to life of privilege and entitlement that is assumed.
Mm.
As to know you're a person of color or you're a woman and you are therefore discriminated against in this culture because of that.
Right. Okay.
In fact, sometimes I think it's harder.
Mm.
So if I know I have issues about the way I'm treated as a female, that's something... There, that's something to, you know, I can wrap my awareness practice around that.
Yeah,
but
so that
if I don't even know there's an issue.
Right.
It's really hard to work on it.
Yeah, and so that's where I guess I'm looking at now is now that I'm aware of what it means to be white and the privileges and benefits, like you were saying, you know, that you talked about that it's important to at first. I mean, it's just the beginning is to be aware, right? My next step then is there would be. I would love to know if you have any ideas or where to look next. Once you are aware, what how do you like let go of conditioned white mind? You know,
yeah.
or do you know what I'm saying?
Yes. Although all you're doing is letting go of conditioned mind.
Mm.
Okay. So whether I am a privileged white person who has no idea that I'm a privileged white person,
mm-hmm.
or I am a person of color who has no idea that the reality that I'm living in is just as skewed and limited as the reality that the average white person is living in, or whether I'm, okay, we're all closing in on the ignorance inherent in our karma.
Okay.
That's what we all share. So, you know, in Buddhism, these issues don't tend to be an issue because of that notion that everything in the universe has been your mother.
Hmm.
Okay, it's vast. The turnover is huge. So to have an incarnation as somebody of a particular religion or a particular race or ethnicity or gender, it's just now this, now this, now this, now this, now this, now this, now this. If we take it seriously, if we believe that something like that is getting in our way, is a real problem or a real issue, then we have to believe things like money are real. You know, that's a real issue. And then now we're sliding out into the land of what I talk about as egocentric karmic conditioning, which is why in the work that I do, I never talk about justice. I talk about peace, but never justice, because from my perspective, now admittedly this is my perspective, okay, peace is the solution.
Right.
Justice is the problem. Okay? Because I'm going to look at you and I'm going to project from my karmic conditioning what is just and about you.
Right. You're right. You're absolutely
Yeah. So, you know, in a race riot, you'd be killed just as quickly as I'd be killed.
Right.
And we would both be killed just as quickly as an out and out racist, bigoted individual, full member in good standing of the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
So, you know that old joke about the fact that you're a vegetarian doesn't mean the bull won't gore you?
Right.
Okay.
Right.
So it's kind of like that.
Yeah.
It's an internal process. And if the issue of racism and your desire for fairness and equality would cause you to hate white people, this is not a step forward.
No, absolutely not.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm trying to gain more compassion. As I'm trying to be more compassionate towards myself about that, I think it's helping me in general. But I was looking at it, I was like, well, if Sherry, like, there's obviously conditioning that she's seen or experience that she's had as a woman, and I've had as a woman or as a white female, like, how do we just recognize, okay, this is an experience I'm having as a woman, like, I'm not negating the experience, I'm just
noticing it.
Or
here is an experience of egocentric karmic conditioning in action.
Okay.
So, you know, for a lot of women, as you well know, can get a big anger and resentment toward men.
Yeah.
And then you have to break it down. Is it as big an anger and resentment toward men of color as of white men?
Right.
You know, if you're a Christian, does it carry over to Jews?
Right, exactly.
Or Hindus?
Right.
And, you know, and so we get in this...
It's endless.
Yeah, this weird loop, failing to realize that, whoa, wait a minute. I have just become the problem. Now I am hating a group of people for my own reasons.
Right.
So does it really make a difference that I'm hating them because they hate other people?
Right.
Yeah. So it really, when we start looking at it, when we take the content out of it and we start looking at it as a process, it becomes so much larger.
Right.
Than our little ideas about, but they're doing something and it's not right, and if they would be different, and if I could point it out to them, and if I could get them to change, that attitude of mind is the source of the suffering, not what they're doing or what I'm doing, but that whole process. So, you know, for as long as there have been people have been finding reasons to hate and kill other people.
Yeah.
And that's just people.
Right.
Okay, we're not even bringing in everything else on the planet that is just there to be used, abused, and destroyed. So that attitude of mind, of my little ego, needs to be in charge of how things are, I would say, is what's gotten us into these hateful places.
Mm-hmm.
And it's getting past that's going to free us. And ultimately, will there be justice? Yes, there will. But it'll be coming from peace.
Right.
Not from right and wrong, and I know best how things should be, and I'm going to make you do the right thing.
Well, I really appreciate your thoughts on that. It's helping. It's very helpful.
Let's keep the conversation going.
Okay, for sure.
Thank you.
Take care.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye-bye.
Yes, Megan, you're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio, and we're off to another fascinating start today. It was a fascinating conversation, Sherry. Up next on Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your call. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. I'm your host, Michael Gray. Sherry, that was a fascinating conversation.
Yes. Indeed.
And I think today is the East Bay Day. We have a caller from Berkeley. I'd like to welcome Ingrid from Berkeley. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hello. It suddenly just got quiet.
We were waiting for you to speak.
Oh, I see.
Hi there.
Hello. So I actually called in maybe 2 or 3 weeks ago, and and I had, I'm not sure where to start, because I was wishing to follow up on that phone call, and sorry, my mind's kind of blanking out. I kind of was a little like, I called today in a general kind of really narrow, scared state, and it's kind of like I'm calling in to kind of challenge what I'm suspecting are, you know, like extreme kind of narrow and self-hating kind of voices that is kind of general.
So is what you're saying that there's no particular content for what's going on with you? It feels just like a state or an orientation or an identification that just kind of includes whatever is in your sphere.
Right. It's like a feeling of just general smallness, narrowness, and a fear.
Uh-huh.
I kind of called as a challenge to, like, you know, I know I have an incredible fear of, you know, like, of kind of exposing myself in this way.
Good for you.
So that's why I'm doing it, although I have a definite part of me that feels, you know, I don't want to crowd other people out. Maybe this isn't worthwhile enough to...
Yeah. Well, yeah. We know where that's coming from, right?
Do we?
Yeah, we do. That fits right under that old scam of self-hatred.
Yes.
So your life is just closing it. It reminds me of one of those old movies where, you know, you're staying in the... How do these people get to these castles, you know?
Yeah.
But you're staying in it, and you're in your fabulous room, and then you wake up, and you sort of begin to notice that the room is smaller than it was before.
Yeah.
And you decide that you're going to open the door and go out, and of course you're locked in, and then you realize, oh yeah, it's really getting smaller and smaller and smaller. And then you decide that you're going to pick up the phone and call somebody, and the voice says, oh no, I'm not sure this is that important.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we have to wonder, well, when would it get important? When you're smashed?
Right. Right. Well, yeah.
Yeah. So, can you talk a little bit more about what's going on? That now, I will tell you that it's really interesting to me, because what you're describing is a pretty severe degree of what we call identification.
Mm-hmm.
Right? You're in that room.
Yes.
Those voices are piped in. They are creating your reality for you, and yet. you knew to pick up the phone
yes.
and call in.
Yes.
So you're not completely
Barely.
Identified.
Right.
Yeah.
Ever so slightly.
Ever so slightly. Yeah. Yeah. And what's that? Can you describe a little bit about what that's like to go back and forth between those two states?
I feel like, I don't know, because I'm definitely experiencing much more of the narrow fear type thing. So to move between them.
And yet, can you feel that when you are saying that, you're not really in it?
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. So you are actually, when you say that, you're actually identified with awareness.
Mm-hmm.
You're speaking from awareness. What you say is, I'm in that narrow space.
Yeah.
And yet, you're not, because you're observing that narrow space.
Yeah.
And you're also able to observe the voices that are talking to you, right? The one that tells you, this is, you know, you're really taking up too much space. This isn't that important.
Right.
Yeah. So you're aware. Are there other voices telling you things?
I'm not sure. I'm not sure if this is going to connect right up, but it's, I'm just aware of thinking about my last phone call that I had with you.
Uh-huh.
When I called in, and I had such an amazing experience of having been really feeling narrow, and suddenly realizing the kind of point of that phone call was that there's no formula that's going to figure everything out, and that I've been so looking at things in right and wrong.
Uh-huh.
And sorry, I'm not sure if this is connecting with what I was saying earlier, but it was so incredibly freeing and liberating, and I was so high for like 2 days. I felt so wonderful.
Yeah, so now the voice is going to tell you, but, you know, it's not happening this time.
Yes, that's what it's saying.
Don't you
or
love
worrying,
it?
You know.
Yeah, don't you love it? It really, as we get more used to watching and listening to it, it's very predictable.
Wow,
yeah,
yes.
So call in. And then what's going to be pointed out is, well, you know, that really didn't work. And the implication is, so give that up. You know, why would you ever want to do that again?
Yes.
You tried it again. It didn't work. And so really, there's just no way out of this for you.
Right.
Which is fascinating, isn't it? What kind of a person, if we can call it that, what kind of a person would want to be saying those things to you?
Mm-hmm.
Now, I mean, just when we step back, you know, when it's inside our heads, it makes some sort of sense. Oh, well, yeah, I guess that's probably true. But if who, can you imagine who in your life would say to you, Ingrid, why don't you just give up? You know, something worked for you once, but, you know, nothing's going to work for you again. So just hang it up, okay? Quit lying. It's unimaginable, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, if somebody completely hated you,
yeah.
They wouldn't say that out loud. They might wish you would get to that conclusion.
Yeah.
Do you know? It's wacko. It's just so insane.
Yeah.
And it happens to everybody, as far as I can tell.
Mm-hmm.
And we believe it, and we fall for it, and it's really quite astounding.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Now, if it were somebody else that you were talking to,
mm-hmm.
and she said, well, you know, it's not working. You know, I did it once before, and it's not working. She would say, well, yeah, but how about if you just keep trying?
Mm-hmm.
You know, isn't this great that you thought of it? Aren't you glad that you are not just completely succumbing to this? Isn't
mm-hmm.
it a good sign that you're reaching out, that you're staying connected?
Yeah.
Right? This is somebody who likes you.
Yeah. Yeah.
So what have they got? What do they have to say for themselves now?
Who?
The voices.
Yeah. What is, right now?
Uh-huh.
Well, they're thinking a lot.
Uh-huh.
I mean, going through, noticing, I guess, that I'm nervous and losing my train of thought.
Yes. Of course.
Oh, it's so terrible.
Yeah. So there's an old story, I don't know if it's true or not, about W.C. Fields when he was dying in the hospital. And a friend of his came in, and he was sitting there reading the Bible.
Mm-hmm.
And the friend was really shocked. He said, "You know what? What are you doing? You know, you don't believe in that stuff." W.C. Fields says, "I'm looking for loopholes." Yeah. So that's what conditioned mind is doing right now.
Yeah.
It's scrambling around, trying to keep its arguments in place.
Yes.
It's really afraid to say anything. It's afraid to say or do anything that you're going to report to me.
Yeah.
Okay? Because then it really loses ground when you do that.
Yeah.
So it's kind of hanging back. Can you feel it kind of hanging back around the periphery a little bit?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
And it's waiting because, you know, she can't stay on the phone forever.
Yeah.
Okay? So soon she'll hang up and then we'll have her for dinner. All right, so here's my encouragement to you.
Yeah.
Get out a paper and a pen,
mm-hmm.
and when you get off the phone, start writing down everything that it says.
Mm-hmm.
And your response to it is that so?
Mm-hmm.
Hmm. Really?
That's so.
Huh. Interesting. Is that so?
Yeah.
Okay?
Wow.
And just watch how frantically it's going to try to get the upper hand again.
Yes.
Okay? Now, Ingrid, pretty soon it will.
Yeah.
Okay? It'll distract you.
Yeah.
You'll get caught up in something. Mm-hmm. It comes in, you know, regroups, puts the troops all in place, and it's gonna get you again.
Yeah.
And when it does, you just say, "Oh, well done." And if you can remember to see it for what it is and actually give it a little compliment for having completely snookered you, you will realize that you are disidentified from it.
Mm-hmm.
Now, have you done a There's Nothing Wrong With You retreat?
No, this is what you recommended last time.
Well, see, I'm a broken record. And it's easy because you're in Berkeley.
Yeah.
You're practically a neighbor.
Yes.
So, I know. It's just, you know, it's good to avail ourselves of every tool and every possibility to turn this around and get on the other side of it, because it is... Yeah. Relentless. It is skilled.
Yes.
Okay. It's an expert at doing what it does, and you are just a novice.
Yeah.
At getting out of its grip, and that's not a problem. It's just that you need to get educated.
Right.
Yeah.
Well, it can be a little intimidating. I suppose this is because some of those voices back there that, as I consider going to retreat, you know, and I did call about it, but. The first one's full and whatever. I'll still keep trying. But I think my experience last time was after my last phone call and feeling all of that freedom. And then really, it just got really intense after a couple of days where I would notice the kind of negative self-bashing thoughts and then start worrying that I wasn't dealing with them well enough. And it just got really intense.
Yep,
really,
it does. It does.
Yeah. So,
as it's striving to get you back in that kind of downtrodden position again.
Right.
You know, you got mighty uppity there for a while.
Yeah.
And it has to just slap you back into submission.
Yes.
So, you know, if you know that that's happening and that's going to happen, then you can just say, yep, here it comes.
Yes.
Yeah. Now, the next time you call, just say, "Sherry, don't tell me to go to that retreat again, okay? You told me twice, I got it."
What?
You can just tell me. You know, you've told me that twice. I got it.
Okay, yeah.
It's on my schedule. Right?
Okay, yeah. Well.
But do keep in touch.
Yeah.
Know? Don't let those voices get you off alone with only them to converse with.
It seems to be key, the reaching out part.
Yeah.
But I notice I want to say something because as I leave, I know I'm going to have a major feeling of, oh, that was so stupid. I can't believe I called in, and I'm never going to call in again because it was so stupid.
So you get your, that's right. That's right. I'm never going to call in again because did I say that that's the position they're going to try to get you in?
Yep.
So what you do, you get out your paper and your pen, and everything they say, you just write it down. This is the voice. You know, these are the messages of people who don't like you.
Right.
You don't want to confuse them for friends.
Okay.
And then call next week just to say hi and tell me what the voices are saying.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Thanks for joining us, Ingrid. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. We're at the end of our second segment, and we'll be back with you in just a couple of minutes. Coming up next on Open Air, we'll be continuing our conversation on conscious, compassionate awareness and taking your call. So keep it tuned here to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Welcome back. You're listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Sherry, I wanted to talk about how fascinating the show is, but there's another caller here.
Isn't it good?
I'd like to welcome Sue from Mountain View. You're on Open Air with Sherry Huber.
Hi, Sherry.
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
I'm doing well, thank you. And you?
I'm doing well.
Very good.
So I have a question that... or a comment, I don't know exactly how it falls under. I could totally relate to the previous person that was talking a lot, of course. And my thing kind of comes along with the concept of doing something that's quote-unquote wrong, and then it's like one of those things, you should have known better, you should never have done that, you should never, all of those things, I did it, it's done.
Yep.
And now the concept of beating myself up, like the punishment, and struggling with the concept of, well, of course you should be punishing yourself. You did something wrong. You know, it's being the right and the wrong person. But then the idea of, I don't have to be punishing myself, but I'm struggling with that because I feel like then I'm not a good person if I'm not punishing myself.
I know. It, you know, you're a little kid, and you did something you shouldn't do. And, of course, you didn't know you shouldn't do it. That's the only time people tell you you should have known better was when, of course, there's no way in the world you could have known. So you did this thing.
But as an adult, is that true as an adult? Like,
oh, yeah. It's absolutely true. It's absolutely true. If you if you knew better, you wouldn't have done it.
Uh-huh.
We only know better afterwards.
Uh-huh.
I mean, and it is... you know, going along with what sort of what other people have been looking at, how could we not know this? Now, this is the kind of thing, okay? If you go out to eat and you overeat, and, of course, most people, when they go out to eat, they eat food that's way more, that's way richer than food that they would eat at home.
Mm-hmm.
Is this true? Why restaurants do that, I don't know. But, you know, it's special to have a bunch of stuff that's not going to sit well in your system. That's what makes it a special occasion, right? So it gets greasier and it's saltier and it's more sugary than anything you would eat at home. Yeah? And then you eat too much of it. Can you relate to this at all?
Uh-huh.
Now, how many times do you have to do that before you get it that you're not going to feel good after you do it?
Right.
Okay? So in theory... you know that. You know that.
Right.
You know, if I said, okay, well, I think you ought to go out and order 3 or 4 entrees because it's a really good restaurant, and who knows when you're going to get back here again. And you know, just eat the food, and, you know, you'll enjoy it. It'll taste good. And you on a certain level, in theory, intellectually, you know that's not a good idea.
So in theory, intellectually.
Pardon me?
So in theory and intellectually, you know, even though you're still doing.
That's right. But
doing.
The person who's there making that decision doesn't know, do they?
Well, that's probably true. I mean,
yeah. And in addition, not only do they not have that broader perspective that says, you know, this is how I've always felt in the past when I did this. I bet that's going to happen this time. Okay, the person doesn't have that. And I would suggest the reason is because the person is, in fact, very young. Okay? And in addition, that person is being egged on by voices that say things like, well, this is a special occasion. You know, everything is costing so much. I certainly can't leave things on my plate. You know, just one dessert, that's not, I mean, you know those kinds of rationalizations?
Right.
Yeah. So it's not like there's somebody older and wiser. They're going, now, I want you to stop and consider this, okay? I want you to eat really slowly here. If you leave half of it on the plate, that's perfectly fine. I just want you to feel really good about this, not feel overstuffed, or, you know, I want this evening to be for you. We don't have that, do we?
Right.
Now, if you had that person and you still went ahead and said, I don't care, I don't care, then the voices could really beat you up. But I would still say the person who said, I don't care, I want to do it anyway, is incapable of making any decision other than the one made.
Mm-hmm.
Everything about it is theory and intellectual.
Right.
Yeah. And I would say the whole setup is to get you right where you are now.
So say a little bit more about that.
Feeling bad.
Uh-huh. In so a place, just doing the whole thing, you know it's going to you end up in a bad place.
That's right. Now, not that the person who's doing it knows that, because she doesn't. It's a different person. You know, my teacher used to say prisons are filled with innocent people. And he's right, because the people sitting there in prison are not the ones who committed the crime. Person commits the crime and then goes off and leaves somebody else to take the rap.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? So when you were a little kid and you did things that you should have known better than doing, and you didn't, you got a spanking. You got punished.
Right.
Were sent to your room. You had things taken away from you. If you, as an adult, don't get that response, there's an anxiety that goes with it.
Well, I feel like I'm supposed to only be beating myself up and be miserable, and then there's a side that it's like, okay, you can learn from this. You don't, you know.
Yes. Or there could be an argument that says, well, but why should I beat up this innocent person because somebody else was left on their own to do this thing?
Uh-huh.
Now, you've done bad things before, right?
Sure.
Did you learn from being beaten up?
Obviously not.
Clearly. It doesn't work, does it? Yeah.
But
so,
just that whole concept, because I feel like our society is so based on you're wrong, you should be punished. And then also it's easy to punish other people.
Absolutely.
You know,
you earned it.
And like with this situation, I wasn't in it alone. You know, it's like, and so, you know, the whole thing, like there's a side of beating that other person up, you know,
right,
punishing that other person, and
that's
kind
right
of struggling with the concept of, you know what, they're beating themselves up enough.
And
but then feeling justified to do it.
Right. And so here's the rest of the cycle, okay? So you're a little kid. You do something you shouldn't have done. You're told you should have known better, which is just, you know, makes you crazy because you didn't, but then after a while you believe that you should have, and that somehow you could have known how you were going to feel after this was over when you saw what happened. Okay? You get your spanking, and then you're done. Right? Then now the slate is clean again. You get to go out and start all over. And I would suggest that that's exactly what's going on in this cycle, that as soon as you've paid your debt to society, you get to go out and do the next thing you're not supposed to do.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, what's possible for us,
yeah,
is to learn how that whole system works, to learn when you're getting set up for something, to really have the ability to be there, present and conscious, and say, not, I shouldn't do that, but I know what the consequences of that are. And I don't want to do that.
Right.
So wouldn't it be fun to go out and drink shots of tequila with my friends? No, it wouldn't, actually.
But the hard part about that, which I feel like is an example of this, is maybe in the long run, the shots of tequila aren't fun, but there's a phase in the middle that it's
kind
of fun.
That's right. That's right. And that's what we're learning. That's what we're learning. That the result is not enough of a compensation for that little time in between.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Right.
So, I mean, we see it all the time in lots of areas of life. You know, what is the harm of having an affair with a married person? You know, it's fun. It's exciting. It's thrilling. It's all of these things. You do it a few times and you realize there's a heck of a price that you pay for it.
Right.
After a while, we say, yep, that's right. It's really fun. It's really exciting. It's really thrilling. It's not worth it.
Right.
Yeah. And when we get to that place, it's not a you should have known better. You really do know better.
Right. But then,
so, you know, as a person who's not too hung up about shoulds and right and wrong and all of those sorts of things, I always encourage people, whatever it is that you're doing, get it out of your system. Don't hold back.
Because I guess that's part of the whole thing of, like, the example, you know, it's like to beat yourself up that you did it once. Because maybe it's like I won't go back and do it again, but I did it once, you know?
That's right. And you will. You know you will.
And that, and then, like, to not beat yourself up for that.
That's right.
Because it's
say,
like,
well, clearly, I don't know better yet.
Right. Well, that's probably a good way to say it, is I don't know better yet.
Clearly, I do not know better yet.
Even
if
though
I
there's
did,
a site that says I should know better.
That's right. Well, yeah, and I probably should, but I don't. And so when I know better, I'll do better. Until
right.
then, this is what we've got, kids. And again, the one that I'm going to underline is how really cruel and unfair it is to beat up somebody for what somebody else did. Because the one who's getting the beating is not the one who did the act.
Right.
Yep.
Okay.
All right.
Thanks
for calling.
Thanks for joining us, Sue. You've been listening to Open Air with Sherry Huber on World Talk Radio. Thank you, Sherry.
Thank you, Michael. I hope people call us next week about that. That was some inflammatory stuff.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you for listening today, and we'll talk to you again next week.
Talk to you then. Thanks, Michael.
Good night.
Good night.